In Galatians 6, the word says that God cannot be mocked. And unfortunately, when we look around, that's a common process from Christians today. One way we mock God is by ignoring clear instruction and guidance he gives us in his word. Now, as we look at the word, one of the things he talks about is submission. Now, usually when we hear that word, we cringe, and we usually relate it to the wrong way husband and wives have been in relationships. And it should not be that way. It's been a wrong relationship in which we've seen it as subservient or a ruler instead of understanding what the true word means. As you're about to see in God's word, submission is used in a vast way with everyone, including God. And he even gives us instruction on how to do it. The name of this order, my steps, is we must first submit. Now, what submission in God's word means is to yield oneself under God to the power, authority, or position of another. Okay, now what that means is, and I use the under God, that's so important because he then sets the ruling, and that means how I react to others based on their position to me using God's ruling. You get that? So that's submitting. And as you're going to see, I have to submit in every case. That's why it's not the same to everyone. Let's understand this. First of all, Jesus, who is our example, submitted. It shows in Hebrews 5, verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard, watch this, because of his reverent submission. It didn't say he was heard because he was God, and he is and was God. It doesn't say he was heard because he's the Son, and he is and he was and is the Son. It didn't say he was heard because it was just God's will. No, it was he was heard due to his reaction to God, which was submission based on reverence. That's something you have to really think about. Based on Jesus' reaction to God, based on God, is why he was heard from God. Now, that should open up our eyes to, wait a minute, this submission thing, there's so much more to it. So let's look at the pattern and start from the beginning. First of all, like Jesus, we must first and continue to submit to God. James 4, 7 through 10 says, submit yourselves then to God. Now, you see, what this is showing us, and you're going to see this term used with various different people, and I'm going to go through each group and show how the Bible says it. So when I'm submitting to God, it means I realize my position reference to God's position. You get this, okay? So God is the Almighty. He's the ruler. He's my Father. He has the first final say. He is sovereign. So when I submit to him means I answer to him, period. It means I live in complete reverence to him. So it starts with this, and it kind of breaks down how that works. You submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, we could do a lot on the stuff in the middle of there, but verse 10, when it even adds to that submitting to God, is to humble yourselves before the Lord. To humble myself before God means use me as you see fit. A lot of people live to God based on themselves. God, as long as I'm cool, then I'll do what you say, but the minute things go wrong, I may not follow you. And those people are in trouble. Once again, they're mocking God because they want to submit based on themselves. God, if you don't make me happy, if you don't react the way I think you should react, then I'm going to do so and such. That's not submitting to God. When I submit to God, I may go, God, I'm struggling with this situation. I may be struggling with whatever's going on, but you are God. As you say, I will do. We're doing a whole series starting on December 5th on fearing God. I encourage you to look at that sermon or to follow us or to jump on with that one. It's very important on fearing God. But that's first. Then we're going to go right down the line on submission. Now, here is where we distort the definition of submission, because we just use it between wives to husbands. But look what it says in Ephesians 5:22. It tells us that we have to submit to one another based on God. So it's not only telling wives to submit to husbands, it's telling husbands to submit to wives. How do you do that if we use the man's wrong definition? This is why God gives us clear understanding when we use sound doctrine. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, here's a clear part of it. In other words, I don't respond to you based on you, and I don't respond to you based on me, and we both don't respond to each other based on others. Do you get this? All of this is how I respond and have my relationship with you must be based on God. Now, as severe as this is, as small as this is right here, this is where we mess up. Because what we end up doing is we end up setting the boundaries, the standards, and the references and everything based on our relationships. And our relationships are all over the place. That's why people, you know, their best friend will come first. They'll treat their family pretty bad. They'll raise their kids incorrectly. They'll get in the wrong relationships. Why? Because they're submitting or yielding to a person based on something else other than God, even though this says we're supposed to submit out of reverence for Christ. So in a nutshell, what he's saying, it's done based on Christ and by doing it his way. In a nutshell, it's saying to each Christian as a brother, sister for the younger ones, and father and mother to the older ones. In the Bible, using sound doctrine tells me how I'm supposed to react to each Christian out there. It tells me how to act to each unbeliever. There is only two groups. There's the unbelievers and believers. And then the Bible shows me how I'm supposed to be. Now, because man has distorted this, we've messed it up, because it shows us to non-believers, we do it in order to win them. So I'm not to condemn them, to bash them, to join up with them, to partner with them. No, I'm to win them in order for them to become a Christian. And I just play a part in that. Going back to my reference to God, hopefully you're getting to see this pattern. This is me allowing God to work. Where we mess up in relationships is we tend to have the relationship based on us, and then we get confused on how we're supposed to deal with it. An excellent question was asked in one of our question and answer sessions on, you know, when we hear these studies in the Bible, how do we add it to real life? And I'm trying to explain that it is real life. The reason why it's so confusing to us is because we separate real life from the Bible. And now we're confused instead of living real life through the Bible. If we were doing that, how I deal with people outside would be based on God. How I deal with other Christians would be based on God. How I deal with every situation would be based on God. So to Christians, I follow each other as a brother, as a sister, encouraging, rebuking, doing what I'm supposed to. To non-Christians, I live in such a way to minister in order to bring them to it. That's it. And then the Bible goes into details on certain situations. We're going to see even more details as we go through this. So that's the first thing. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. He has to be the standard to this. Then we must obey our spiritual leaders and submit to the God-ordained, to the God-ordained authority. Okay, now what that means here, and I'm being a pastor, a minister, a teacher, I'm in that situation to where God, I'm in a position that God has ordained, that God has created. It's the sacred position that I'm in. Now, in that position, I'm very uncomfortable with the part of obeying. However, that's not for me to feel comfortable or like or not. And I see what this verse means, because it's tragedy, especially to people today, because people are stubborn and they do their own thing. And it makes you want to say, you know what? I don't care. I've heard ministers that just want to teach and then go home. But look at what this verse is in Hebrews 13, verse 17. Because as a spiritual leader, I have a responsibility. What's my responsibility? And what's your or the flock's responsibility to their spiritual leader? It says in Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. That word obey, other than when man distorts it and adds it in marriage and things of that sort, is not used too often. Okay? And it shows this obey, and it's putting it here very clearly, but it's put me or other ministers in a situation that we must lead giving God's commands. Do you understand this? So we must place commands out there that the flock must obey. And he says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. In other words, you're not submitting to me as a man, you're submitting to my position. Now, we're going to see a little later, just as a side note, of when you don't do it. There is a time when you don't, and it's the only time you don't. I've seen people use other times, and that's where they're going to have to answer to God for. But watch what it says here. It says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. And watch this. Here's my responsibility. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Now, let me stop there for a minute. So in other words, I have a responsibility as a pastor to my flock. Now, I know in many cases you have many that are going, I just want you to mind your own business. I want to live my life. Just give me the word. Now, I could submit to them based on them and say, don't worry, I don't want to bother you. Or I can do what this word is saying. I have to keep watch over them because they are God's sheep if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, it's my responsibility to watch over you based on God. And I have to then be held accountable to God on how I'm watching you. So I'm going to give rules sometimes. I'm going to have to put situations out there based on God because I'm going to have to answer for it. So when I get people that are wishy-washy, that find other things and they go every which way, it is so frustrating. He says here, obey them that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. He's saying it's only going to hurt you. Now, you can go and find another shepherd that's not going to do it accountable to God, and you're just still going to be in trouble. Or you can be under a shepherd that's going to be fully accountable to God, and then that's going to keep you in the protection and the blessings of God. But either which way, it's for your benefit. Part of God's blessing is for you to be under an accountable shepherd. And for that shepherd to be accountable to God. This includes only those under the authority of God, which includes pastors, ministers, elders, shepherds, those people who call themselves that. Now, if they're doing it wrong, you as a sheep need to find another shepherd that's doing it right. Today, many look for other shepherds to feed them as they see fit. They're already wrong. In other words, they're going after a desire. They're emotionally looking for somebody to lead instead of looking for somebody that will guide them under God, the guidance of God. But I agree here. It makes me not want to lead. And then when I don't lead, it only hurts you. Because I know some people feel this independence. Well, I could do it by myself. So are you ignoring God? Nowhere in the word does it say I can do it by myself. It just says obey the leaders. So that means there's a partner that you're missing either which way. So for those who are not under a leader, you're setting yourself up. For those who don't listen to their leaders, you're setting yourself up. And those who are under non-accountable leaders or very disobedient leaders, you're setting yourself up. So you really only have one real choice. The next group, we need to submit to your immediate worldly leaders. Your immediate worldly leaders, those who work, are under somebody who leads you. Everybody has a boss of some sort. It could be the whole company. It could be a CIO, CEO. It could be a manager, supervisor, whatever that is. There is a ministry in us following them. Now, most of these people are worldly. So some of us in our puffed upness and our ignorance tend to treat them in a different way. But not based on God. Look what he says in 1 Peter 2, 18 through 21. He says, slaves. Now, let me stop there because that translation could be changed to servants or those who are under. So, you know, that's just the word they use. It could that this translation of that word could still be used as slaves, but it's used in anybody that answers to somebody else. That's how we know somebody who's subordinate to. Okay. It says, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters. And that word masters means the person who is in charge. And he says, do it with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. And I've had both. I've had some very harsh, ignorant, downright mean bosses. And I've had those who are very generous, very caring, and always open door. Either which way, I have to submit to them, recognize their position with all respect. And I've done that for the most part. I've tried, you know, but it's one of those that we have to keep in mind. This is part of what God is telling us to do. It says in verse 19, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. So there is a time when we can ignore, but he's saying right here, sometimes they're going to do stuff that's not necessarily wrong. It's just painful. They may have you do stuff. You may be in the position that you don't necessarily like, but it's not wrong. We're going to show you what wrong is. But just because you don't like it doesn't mean you don't have to listen to it. If your boss told you to do it and you just don't like it and you don't do it, you got to answer to God. That's why he says in verse 20, but how is it your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? If you did wrong and you got punished for it, that was your fault. If I come to work late and I get punished for it, that's on me. I came to work late. God has nothing to do with it. If I steal from work, if I'm not doing my job, all the things that I'm doing, and I get in trouble, I can't go, well, God opened up a better door for me. No, it's me being disobedient. Do you get this? Inexcusable. But watch what he says here. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Remember, who am I trying to please? God. Who am I trying to follow? God. Do you get this? My deal is to please God, not man. So if I'm doing everything I'm supposed to and I don't seem to get rewarded, I seem to get in trouble, I seem to get, you know, a lot of stuff happened to me, nothing going against God, but stuff that happens to me and I endure it. Think about that. That's why sometimes God puts us in these tough situations and I endure it. He says this is commendable before God. And look what he says in verse 21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you. At times he puts us in our jobs, not for our enjoyment. I know a human desire and an emotional thing we tend to go after is looking for an enjoyable job. And that would be great. God's not taking that away from us, but remember, he's working with us. So sometimes he's saying, I want you to go through things, not allowing that situation to dictate you, but your relationship with me, talking about God, to dictate you. That's why he's saying, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Jesus never disrespected. Jesus did what he was supposed to. Jesus went ahead and followed. Understand that this is a major part of our lives of faith. Major. And you don't always see this. Now, in no way is it saying to do the things that are wrong. We're going to talk about that. I got to keep making that clear because you got some Christians and you've seen throughout history that have done some things and they'll do it in the name of following authority. There's a time when that is wrong. This group includes managers, supervisors, executives like CEOs. Then we are required to submit to all forms of authority. See, when politics come around, and this is where people are fooled and it's distorted and it's disturbing because we think we're going to form that group of people that we like and we're going to disrespect the group of people that we don't. What's even more disturbing is we got these Christians that are, they speak highly of, they're in love with a group of people and they really disrespect and talk bad about another group of people and call themselves Christians. That's not what this word says to do. Romans 13, 1 through 7 says, everyone, that includes us, everyone must submit himself to the governing authority. So here's the deal. Look what God says. He says, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Now, throughout the world, remember, this is not just talking about America. Sometimes people mix this up and say, oh, this is talking about America. He's talking about dictatorships. He's talking about stuff that was allowed to be established. Now, God has his reasons, and that's not for me to question. I just understand he's saying none of these groups were allowed to be set up unless God allowed them to be set up. Keep that in mind. Now, I know some of us will fight the setup and try to form other setups. Now, that's fine and all, but the setup that I'm under, I must submit to it, as God is saying here. He says the authorities that exist have been, watch this, established by God. That's worldwide. Hard for us to stomach. But God is saying, yep, I'm the one who allowed this. He goes on to say, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is, watch this, rebelling against what God has instituted. Now, when I go against government, watch this very clearly, I'm going against God. There's only a time, and you'll see that time at the end of this, when I'm supposed to go against government. But when I then go against government for any other reason, I'm going against God. Even if it's a wicked, non-godly government, as long as you're staying within that boundary, is not making me do something outside of God, I got to follow what they say. And this is what he says. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. We got a whole slew of people calling themselves Christians that are downright ignoring the government, and not for the right reasons. It says, for rulers have no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. Now, some try to use this because they're saying if you don't do right, the police won't get you. And if you do wrong. Now, that's not always the case. What he's saying is, and God's going to clear this up even more, he was like, do what you're supposed to, and you'll be in good shape, even though sometimes what you're supposed to do hurts. Sometimes what you're supposed to do gets in the way. We get frustrated at that sometimes. But he's saying, nope, still just do it. If that's the law, do it. Then he says in verse 4, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. It's basically saying, so if I get arrested for doing wrong, I get what I get. Does that make sense? If I speed and I get a ticket, I get what I get. That was my fault. It says he is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on wrongdoers. He says, therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities. They set laws. I follow the laws. So some cases where I don't, and I'll show that. And he breaks it down, not only because of possible punishment. So he's saying, don't do it just so because you're going to get punished, but also because of conscience. I know I'm not supposed to do it because that's what the rule is. The rule is don't do it. He says, this also is why you pay taxes. And this is why some people get away with finding people who find loopholes. Now, loophole in many cases is against the law. It's a way that I can get away with not doing what I'm supposed to do. Do you understand? Not doing what I'm supposed to do, not paying what I'm supposed to pay. It says, for authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Do you understand this? He's saying God's going to hold all governments accountable. Just like he did back with Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, all of them, he's going to do with these non-godly governments. He says, give everyone what you owe him, even though they're unfair taxes, pay them. It says, if you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. You go to each place and it tells you how to deal with these people. There's only one time you don't. We'll explain that. But overall, I got to follow their rules. It even gives us more in 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. It says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Once again, you're doing is based on God, to every authority instituted among men. Every authority. Once again, this is worldwide. We have dictatorships. We have some evil dictatorships. But if I'm living there, I must follow their rules. He says, whether to the king, as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, to commend those who do right. Now, I know we think we do something when we vote people in or vote people out and all that other nonsense. Either which way, the governments are still established. God allows them. And we can feel as though we're doing something, but in reality, it still comes down to how we are under them. How do we react as Christians? Are we doing it out of reverence to God or out of our own desires? He says in verse 15, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil, which, once again, many are doing. We're following some things that are more based on constitution, desire, and position, not based on God. He says, live as servants of God. I'm following what the law says. Show proper respect to everyone. And we are guilty of this. We like certain parties, people who like the Democratic Party and people who like the Republican Party. You hear them talk bad about the other party. I mean, disturbingly bad. That's not the proper respect. Now, there's nothing wrong when somebody does wrong to say they're doing wrong. This person does wrong. Nothing wrong with putting that out there. But usually you hear people speak with disdain that they feel towards that person and not speaking of the wrong that the person is doing. It says love, brotherhood of believers. That love and relationship I'm supposed to have with all Christians should be the same for all Christians. See, that's really an important part, because especially in this thing, we usually only love the brotherhood that love the things we love. Groups that are siloed based on what we want. Tells us to fear God. And you know, that comes in itself. Like I said, a whole series is being done on that, to where we live recognizing, if I don't do this, I have to answer to God, not to my government. And this is honor the king. In our case, it's the president. In some cases, it's a dictator. In some places, it's a full government. In some places, it is kings. And in all of these cases, we have to honor. In other words, they're in that position. I have to respect that position. This includes government. This includes laws. This includes security. Now, within the family, there must be willing followers to the accountable lead in marriage. Once again, this is determined by God. God is the one who put this in place. So why are we now twisting it around, messing it over? This is be the foundation of marriage, and we tend to ignore this part. Ephesians 5, 22 through 25 says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, there was a time when in the wedding vows, the first thing they would say, they would tell the wife to obey. Now, if you notice, that's not what it says here. Obeying may play a part at times. Do you understand that? But submitting is what they're doing. What submitting to the husband means is you recognize his position. What is his position? Look at verse 23. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife. What it didn't say here is husbands try to be the head of the wife, but if not, if she's a better head, then let her do it. Didn't say that. It says the husband is the head of the wife. That's a position ordained by God. Now, we're going to talk a little bit very soon on what happens when the husband doesn't fulfill that position, because it's something that he placed from the beginning, even before marriage. And this is, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. That means not just in certain marital things and when you put on a show for others. No, this is in everything you do when you're with him and when you're not. He's the head. Not the ruler, king, master, but the understand he is in an accountable position that you got to talk to him for him to make a decision. And that's why it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up to her. What does that mean? He lived for her, the church's protection. Husbands, you live for your wife's protection. He lives for the church's provision. Husbands, you live for your wife's provision. You don't live for yourself, so you don't make decisions based on what you desire. You're doing it for what's best for the family through God, because you are going to have to answer to God for that. We also see in Colossians 3, 18 through 19, wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting to the Lord. Do you get this? 19, it says, husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. These are clear-cut things that he's giving us that we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it. And he puts these in place before the marriage. Sometimes we put the marriage before these rulings. We'll kind of, hey, we'll use those if they see fit and not recognize, oh, no, no, this is what I must do in this. This is the ruling, the foundation, the God-given commands that we're supposed to do in this relationship. Now, you have to understand the initial roles must be recognized. And as I said, we'd explain this. He shows in 1 Corinthians 11:3, he says, now I want you to realize. So he stopped here and he's saying, I want you to recognize something that God put in place for a reason, a very clear reason. He says that the head of every man is Christ. Now, men, husbands, if you don't recognize this, you're definitely doing your family a disservice. And man, you got a lot to answer to God. Now, what does this mean when it says the head of every man is Christ? It's not that you just says Christ is your head. It means every decision you make, everything you do, you should be able to go, I did it because God said. Now, if you're not doing that, you're missing this. Because remember this, I always try to put myself in the place of God saying, where did I tell you to do this? Because if my only answer to him that is valid is, God, I did this because you said. Y'all get this? And then it shows us the head of the woman is man. So even women that are not married has to have a male head of some sort. Maybe the pastor,
It could be a brother, usually their father, then their husband. It understands. It has to follow in a way where that person is the head. Do you get this? It says, and the head of Christ is God. The head of Christ is God. Now, why did they put that last? Because that was fulfilled. You know what I mean? That was done. He already did that. All right? He already showed and gave that. See, we have to make sure that we recognize these roles that God already put in place. So then why are we ignoring it? Why are we not doing what he says? Why are we doing it our own way? Christ said, I do exactly what my Father tells me. We read earlier, he was heard because of his reverent submission. So why are we distorting this? And we do it based on desire. Now, here's the part I want you to make sure you get and understand this. And you got to get this clear, because hopefully this will clear a lot of things that are happening today up with a lot of people. Watch this. Be clear, all submissions are canceled when it conflicts with your submission to God. What I mean by that is any of these submissions I read only work, but with God, submission to God being first. So none of these trump going against God. What does that mean? Well, let's read this first. Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than man. So if the governing authority, if the husband, if the church leader tells you to do something that goes against what the word says, then you can clearly go, I'm not doing it. Only when it goes against what God says. You get where I'm coming from? When God is against it, when God's not for it, then I can make a stand for it. This is where, for against governments, when people make stands, when people go against these and have marches and stuff, these are times when these can be legitimate. This is a time where a wife can say to a husband, I'm not doing it. I had a husband one time tell a wife, we can't keep going to church and I forbid you to go. She went because that was going against God for her not to go. She understood that pattern. She understood that structure. Let me give you two examples of where. The first one, of course, is sinning. Do not submit to sinning. 1 Corinthians 15:34 is just one of the places where it shows us, you know, submit, sitting is me just going against or doing wrong. He says, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. I'm literally watching people who are following groups who call themselves godly, but are doing stuff against God. I mean, there was a time where I remember people were going against abortion, and I remember they would kill people to go against abortion and call themselves warriors. Nowhere was a saying for them to do it that way. In fact, that wasn't even the option they should have been taking. And you have people that did it in the name of God. And you have people that are doing these ignorant things today in the name of God that's going against God. These people are going to have to answer to God. And then there's some subtle things that you may see at your job, that we definitely see in government, that God wants us to stand up for. And it's when it's based on unfairness in God. God makes clear in two places one thing that we are never to allow, never to stand for. Proverbs 11:1 shows, the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. Do you catch what that's saying? So right now we're in a world, and racism plays a part of this. Rich and the poor play a major part in this. Where you live and who you know plays a part in this. We sometimes work in a place and we know sometimes certain laws, certain things benefit us, but you know they're unfair. And as a Christian, what are you doing about it? And some are just going, I'm just following the rules. While you know, no, you know this is unfair. He says in Proverbs 20, verse 23, the Lord detests differing weights and dishonest scales do not please him. We see the laws are treating people different. We see people are not treated fairly in certain areas, in certain countries, under certain dictatorships, under certain governments, in certain companies. These are times where you go, no, this is wrong. This is where you are supposed to make a stand, because now you are obeying God rather than man. This is our responsibility not to close our eyes to and to play ignorant. I've heard Christians sometimes watch this unfair stuff go, and I've heard them say clearly, well, life's not fair. Until it happens to them, then they want to change. Then they want something to work out to their advantage. Now, I'm hoping you recognize all the information he gave us here on this topic of submission, this responsibility of yielding to others' positions, how more complex it is, and how clear it is to us. But once again, when we just use the Bible as a hobby, we use Christianity as a title, and we don't live it, we'll miss this very important set of commands under the process of submission. Let us make sure, as we go into life, in reference to everyone, we first submit under God. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor, we thank you once again, dear God, for this opportunity to come together and to worship and to praise you. And we look to you, dear God, for your guidance under your word to do things you would have us to do. Help us to seek you and you only, dear Lord. Help us to walk in your ways, do what you would have us to do. We want to make sure that we're ministering to others, that we're submitting in the right way, that we're showing the proper respect. Help us, dear God, to keep walking in your ways in a way that we can encourage others in the body and that we can minister to others who are around. Continual blessings to those who are still struggling. Help us to make sure we're obedient. Help them mature to walk and live matured. So as we leave here today, dear Lord, let us take this word to grow in it, to display it, and to show the proper respect to you in all ways. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, Amen.